Hello and welcome to the Performance Physique Podcast. My name is Arj and I am your head coach. On today's episode, I will be discussing my Guardian article and telling you how many reps and sets is the ideal amount to develop muscle mass based on the latest research, and also why we often refer to animal and dairy sources of protein as being the ideal sources of protein. Let's get to it. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's live Q&A. This was another impromptu Q&A that I thought I would do for the purpose of clarifying some questions. Some of you might have heard me going on and on and on about this over the last few days. I was very fortunate to have lots of media coverage this week. Basically, I had a feature in, I don't know, on the Female First website. Then the next thing that happened, I featured in the Stylist magazine. If anyone can get a hold of a Stylist magazine for me, that would be amazing. I haven't been to a train station in ages or on a plane, obviously. And the news agents by me didn't have a copy, but I was in Stylist. And then suddenly I was in Women's Fitness May issue and in the Guardian's weekend issue. So it's been an absolutely awesome week. Fantastic coverage, talking lots of different aspects of health, fitness and nutrition. And I logged on to the comment section on the Guardian's paper to see like what kind of interaction, what kind of questions were coming up. And there were two really big prominent questions that we hold a lot of bias around. You know, we have these lovely feelings attached to opinions and messages, and therefore we can sometimes let that bias take over, or we can perhaps not be so open-minded to what the big consensus of advice actually is, what the science is, as opposed to some of the blurred messaging. And I thought I'd spend 12 minutes on those two topics. Of course, if you have any questions that you would like answered, then pop it in the comments right now and I'll do my very best to help. I would really, really appreciate it as well if you share this video, so click the share button or tag a friend in the comments that you think might benefit from watching a video like this. Or if you're listening on the podcast on the replay, then make sure you do contact us, info@performancephysique.co.uk, to post your questions for next time. Now, the first major key talking point from that article was around repetitions for building muscle mass and then repetitions for strength. And it was this argument which really became a little bit confused, people confusing strength with muscle gain. Those are two very, very different things. I think it's really important that we understand that the majority of us view those two things as the same, but in fact, just developing muscle mass doesn't necessarily mean we'll always develop strength. There's the ideal component, the ideal number of repetitions, weight, intensity, resistance, basically, for developing strength, as opposed to hypertrophy, which is about developing muscle mass. And I'm focusing here on developing muscle mass, because in the article we're talking about maintaining as much muscle mass as you have to ensure that you basically don't lose muscle during a lockdown, absence from the gym, or as we grow older, particularly as we go past 40 and then 60, it really hits in sarcopenia, which is something I touched on in that article in the Guardian. Oh, that coffee's gone cold now. So when I'm looking at programming, I will look at these very specific guidelines of what am I trying to achieve. And unfortunately, a lot of the advice that we receive from personal trainers and from the industry itself and kind of industry experts who perhaps don't read any academic literature or any of the scientific evidence, is that if you want to build muscle mass, you need to work between 8 repetitions and 12 repetitions and do about 3 sets. And if we want to build muscular endurance, we do 15 or 12 to 20 repetitions of a light weight and you do 3 sets. And if you want to build explosive power, then you want to do 6 sets, 5 or 6 sets of 3 reps. And if you want strength, you go in between the power and the muscle mass reps, basically. Now, there is some accuracy to those messages, but what we're forgetting is that some accuracy doesn't necessarily mean ideal, and some accuracy can also leave a lot of that section, a lot of that information, a little bit mysterious. So when we talk about muscular endurance, this is basically being able to perform a repetition again and again and again and again. This doesn't necessarily mean we are maxing out at all. Now, when we're looking to develop hypertrophy, muscle mass, muscular growth, which the majority of us, when we go to the gym, that's what we're actually aiming to do. We basically want to create as much stimulation for that muscle as possible. And there's some great literature that has recently been done, last 2 or 3 years, involving Brad Schoenfeld, James Krieger, Brett Contreras, industry-leading researchers. And the pinnacle paper really in 2017 demonstrated that when comparing groups who are doing high intensity, so lots of weight, lower repetition but much heavier weights, versus those who performed really high repetitions and then those who performed in the middle, so fairly high amounts of repetitions but with some weight resistance, this is what we would call traditionally volume training, that it was discovered that by performing the volume training actually significantly improved the gain of muscle mass compared to the other two groups. In this article, I talk about performing higher amounts of volume. Good morning, Pierce, how are we doing? I talk about performing higher amounts of volume as opposed to just doing 6 to 8 repetitions of an exercise, and that will maximally develop the amount of muscle mass that's in the body, effectively. And there are lots of people saying, that just develops endurance, blah, 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 blah. You need to go really heavy. That's not what the science shows. Ideally, we want to be hitting around 300 repetitions of a challenging weight. That's not just, I can just lift this weight forever. Of a challenging weight per muscle group. And what this really shows is that pretty much we want to be choosing 2 muscle groups maximum per week that we focus on, and then we can do the rest as complementary exercises. So, for example, we might do chest and triceps. If we do a traditional bodybuilding split, we might do chest and triceps 3 times a week, doing 100 repetitions. So it might be 10 sets of an exercise 3 times a week. So 10 sets of 10 repetitions 3 times a week, and we're getting maximal stimulation of that muscle. And when we choose our repetitions, those 10 repetitions, the final 3 reps, are really still a challenge. We're not just going, I'm pushing out these 10 reps, cool, done, tick, move on. We're still challenging ourselves, but we're achieving enough volume. Because what was discovered basically is, in order to get that high enough level of stimulation, if we did it with really heavy weights, we just couldn't achieve enough repetitions through it. Whereas, yes, if you want to build strength, if you want to build power perhaps, but the way we do it needs to be slightly different, but if we want to build strength, yes, you do need to lift a really heavy weight. For general population though, even by just doing some muscular training, we will actually find that we develop an increased amount of strength just by doing some of that muscular training. So there's a bit of a confused message there by doing lots of repetitions and just not putting much effort in or much intent. That's not going to be the ideal way. But by performing high levels of exercise, so 300 reps per week per muscle group, we will maximally develop muscle mass. So it's the ideal method. And I've used this with myself, did a fantastic training program a couple of years back, just 4 weeks, massive changes in my body composition just by performing 300 reps per week of, for me, I'm very lazy really when it comes to, I'm not lazy, I'm very happy to perform just 2 exercises and just do 5 sets of each. I know I want the best bang for my buck, basically. I don't get bored that easily. Whereas if you do get bored very easily, choose 3 different exercises, maybe even 4 different exercises to achieve those repetitions. Right, if that was useful, please click like, love, ha ha, wow. If you want more on that in future weeks, then do let me know as well. contact us on info@performancephysique.co.uk or DM us on performance_physique on Instagram or performancephysique at Facebook. Right, James has a question. We're going to do that before I talk about the second point. Good morning, Anna. James says, with cortisol and stress, how much of a true impact would it have on fat gain or being limited on performance in the gym? Is cortisol just one of those things or is it a big problem? I mean, stress is part of life. I bet Neymar is stressed every... I imagine Neymar is stressed. I mean, he gets a bad rap, but he actually does an awful lot of good things for the community back in Brazil, apparently. James, cortisol is a fantastic question to introduce. At this point, everyone, please click share. Share this stream. Share the podcast if you're listening to it back. Click like, love, ha ha, wow. Tag someone in the comments. Please, please, please do help us reach a bigger audience every single time round. I'm also a little bit nervous, just before I answer this question, that I'm live on two different streams. I'm not sure. Anyway, so cortisol is the stress hormone. Yes, absolutely. That is correct. Cortisol does fight against insulin. So insulin is this growth hormone, and cortisol is basically a stress-induced hormone. And there are actions on preventing fat oxidation. So that is basically when the body doesn't have carbohydrates available, so rather than burning glycogen, it will burn fat. And cortisol can switch this off, basically. However, when it comes to actual weight loss, and ideally we're always looking for fat loss, cortisol isn't this major impacting hormone. The reason you are not losing weight is 99% of the time it's not down to cortisol. It's just not being in a calorie deficit is actually the issue you're experiencing. So, very, very simply, in answer to part A of your question, James, cortisol will not prevent fat loss as long as you are achieving enough of a calorie deficit. Most kind of NHS guidelines, that kind of thing, state a 500 calorie deficit. So ignore exercise performance, ignore what you do exercise-wise, whether it's on a run or in the gym. Focusing just on nutrition, if you create a 500 calorie deficit every single day of the week, so 7 days a week, you'll lose about half a kilo of weight per week. As long as you are honest and you actually do create that deficit. We're always a little bit inaccurate with the way we track our calorie deficit. Never account for exercise, because the way we measure exercise expenditure is just too inaccurate and poor at this moment in time. Even in a lab-based environment, it can be difficult. So it doesn't have a great impact, particularly at the start of weight loss. If we've been dieting for a long, long period of time and we haven't had a deload, we haven't had the opportunity to maybe eat at maintenance or even a small surplus for a while, then we can look at that a little bit further. But pretty much none of us who ever pose this question about cortisol have that situation ahead of us. So cortisol isn't the main thing. And please feel free, James, to add in a kind of follow-up question to that part. Impact on performance in the gym is an interesting one. Stress does impact our ability to perform. If we look at sports performance, stress has a major impact on the ability to perform at our very best, whether it's psychologically or physically. The way we can combat this is basically increasing our carbohydrate intake, making sure that we periodize our week best. So lots of us like just slap bang in our training sessions that we're going to perform each week, get yourself a really good coach, use us as a coaching company, whether it's myself or on the team. But in all seriousness, look at how you focus your training sessions in that week to reduce training-induced stress. Make sure that every roughly 8 weeks, we're having a low week, and we might even have a week off. And that doesn't mean we don't do any exercise at all, which means we don't do that high-intensity training. But I would say cortisol is probably overplayed in the media. It's hyped up a little bit too much. And that misinformation probably causes a little bit more of a problem for those people who are really struggling with weight loss. And this is where the industry needs to clarify things a little bit. James, I hope that does answer your question. Click like, love, haha, wow. Crawley Music, hello over on Instagram, just over here on Facebook. But if you have a question, do pose it. Remember, guys, if you have a question, I'll answer it live before I disappear. I have 5 minutes before I said I was going to be finished. So I'm going to talk to you now about the second biggest talking point from that Guardian article, which I saw was cropping up in the comments. I kept thinking, oh, shall I write back to these people, or is that a bad idea? Am I asking for trouble by commenting on these points, really? So in the article, I mentioned that ideally we would take our protein source from animal and dairy sources. Ah, James, awesome. Yes, it answers it very well. Thank you. No problem at all. My pleasure. So in that article, I basically state that the importance of protein, and then ideally we would get it from animal sources or dairy sources. And this is definitely a bit of a trigger point for many of us. Am I talking about ethical reasons, or am I talking about ideal nutrition points? Well, this is a nutrition and fitness article. I'm talking entirely objectively from the standing point of, if we were looking to make ourselves as healthy as possible in the most simple means as possible, which is what we all pretty much want, we want quick results, it's animal and dairy sources. It's not from alternatives. However, you can still achieve it via alternatives. The only reason we do look at animal and dairy sources is because bioavailability of them is far, far higher. The leucine content of those things which trigger muscle protein synthesis, so leucine threshold, is infinitely higher in basically whey protein, and then other animal sources come following that. And then also the calorie content basically is much, much lower in those sources than it is from a vegan or vegetarian alternative. No, it doesn't mean you can't achieve it through those other sources though. The word ideally is there for a reason. Ideally means it's easier to do it, it has a higher content initially, and it also comes at less of a calorie compensation weight, because basically by increasing our calorie intake, it makes it harder to achieve those goals. So if we can achieve those goals with lower calories, that means that we're perhaps staying within weight maintenance, or if we're looking to lose weight, we're doing it in a better fashion. So muscle protein synthesis, leucine threshold, all available in those animal and dairy sources to a high content and a lower risk. But if you are vegan or vegetarian, you can still do these things. You will probably need some kind of leucine or branched chain amino acid, BCAA, supplement course. Kev, you rewatch later. I'm going to answer your question. I hope you're well. That's over on Instagram. Of course, though, most people have seen that branched chain amino acids on shelves of supplement stores. I wouldn't recommend that as a supplement to anyone who isn't vegan or vegetarian, as long as they're taking enough protein on board. But if you are vegan or vegetarian, then yes, take a branched chain amino acid supplement that will help you achieve those leucine levels. And what you'll need to do with your sources of protein, whether it's seitan, soy, or whatever it is, whether you're vegan, vegetarian, you need to spread it out, and you also need to spread it out basically different sources of protein intake, and you'll also need to increase the volume you have. So you'll need to eat more of it in order to hit MPS, muscle protein synthesis, and to give yourself the best opportunity of hitting leucine threshold, which will come at a calorie risk. So you'll have higher calories to do so. And then therefore, all you need to do is make up for it in the rest of your diet. In the rest of your diet, you'll have to have lower amounts of calories, as long as you're looking to hit calorie maintenance or perhaps even a calorie deficit. If that was interesting, guys, if you want to hear more, do let me know. Click like, love, haha, wow. We have a question just over here on Instagram from Crawley Music, so I'm going to answer that before we head off. But if you have any questions that you would like answering, please do pop it in the comments right now. If you're listening on the playback, do get in touch as well. But Kev has asked, are there any natural testosterone boosters that someone can take? Realistically, there is nothing conclusive around this. Interestingly, lifting heavy weights contributes a little bit, but it's not like game changing or anything, but it does contribute a little bit to the amount of testosterone that we can produce. Increasing your muscle mass does give you a better chance. There are certain supplements, vitamins. Zinc is probably a big one to consider. Ashwagandha has no clinical evidence whatsoever for it, but there is some anecdotal evidence that it does help. But quite funnily, there was a study which compared lots of different things, and it was found that an action film boosted your testosterone, and a blue movie boosted your testosterone even more. So realistically, we're just trying to reduce the body fat that we have, improve or increase the muscle mass that we have, make sure that we're taking enough zinc on board and protein on board. Watch an action film or your film of choice every now and again, Kev. That's probably the best answer to your question. Right, everyone, I've hit it on the dot. Look at that, 25 minutes. I'm going to give you 60 seconds to post any more questions, and then I am going. Please, please, please do tell all your friends about this. Hit like, love, ha ha, wow. It's always a pleasure answering questions. I've really enjoyed, by the way, all this media coverage. So thank you, everyone, so much for supporting myself, Irish Sir Charlman, and my business, Performance Physique. It really does mean an awful lot to us. Good morning, Aid. We're just about to disappear. Again, tag your friends. If they have a question, I'll do my very best to answer it. Thanks so much for listening. I do appreciate all the listens and all the views that we get on the podcast. Remember, if you have a question that you would like me to answer or discuss, send me an email, info@performancephysique.co.uk, or DM us on Instagram, that's @performance_physique, or on Facebook, or all the other locations. For now, though, do take care, make sure you subscribe, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.